Please sit down. Good morning, everyone. Right, just positioning myself. Right, we are focusing on two verses this morning, verses 18 and 19. And as is custom, I'll have it projected for those of you that are not used to having Bibles on your lap. Verses 18 and 19. Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how you know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Very, very sinister words. Can we pray together, please? I pray, Almighty God, for the unction to proclaim your word. I pray, Lord, that you will grant your people in your mercy ears to hear and the spirit within to discern. But in this very challenging passage, I pray, Lord, you'll be honored in what you have written. Amen. Today we read a very disturbing passage. John here tells us about what he calls Antichrist. And he tells us not only that Antichrist has already come, but that there are many Antichrists out there. Now, what is he telling us here? And why do we need to know it? You know, if ever there was a passage of scripture that Christians need to know, it's this one. And yet this is one passage that many people I've known have not understood. What is this Antichrist? We should know what it means. How many horror movies have you watched in your younger days about the Antichrist? How many of you are old enough to remember The Omen? Rosemary's Baby. Left Behind. A Thief in the Night. There are so many Hollywood movies that tell us about the Antichrist. And yet, do you know, not one of those movies accurately tells us what the Antichrist is. They're all wrong. You see, when most people hear the word Antichrist, they immediately think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3, where you're told about the man of lawlessness, the man of sin. Now, the man of sin, Paul tells us, is an evil dictator who will rise up and control the world in the very last days before Christ comes. And he'll claim to be God. When most people hear about Antichrist, this is what they think of: the man of lawlessness, the abomination of desolation. But you know this is wrong. The Bible does predict an end times appearing of a man of sin who'll come at the very end of the age. But this is not the Antichrist. And we need to understand this. Antichrist and the man of lawlessness are two completely different things. And I'm going to prove that to you immediately. The man of lawlessness, we're told, will appear just before the imminent return of Christ. That's what it tells us. Christ will not come back until the last event. The straw that breaks the camel's back is the man of sin will come at the very end. But Antichrist, we're told here, had even come out in the days of John. He was there in the first century. It's not the Antichrist and the law of sin. They're not the same thing. Secondly, The man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians is a single person. He's one man. Antichrist are many people. Look at the text. Many antichrists have come. So the first thing to realize in our text is that John here is not writing about some end time character. You've got to get that into your head. Then what is John writing about here? What is this antichrist? You need to listen now. Because what I share with you today does involve every single one of you. And it is something you need to know that involves heaven and hell. It's that important. What does antichrist mean? Well, let's break the word up and let's start with the word Christ. Christos. I'm sure you all know what the word Christ means. Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. He's the one who was promised by God to come in time and save the world. Every born-again Christian confesses Jesus is the Christ. He is the one. Could you just turn that fan slightly that way so it doesn't blow my papers? He's the one who has been promised to come, seed of the woman, to crush the serpent's head. Christ. But antichrist? What does anti mean? Now here you need to know just a little bit of Greek grammar. When the word anti is spelt in what is known as the genitive case, it always means against, counter to, in opposition to. Sort of like anti-abortion. What does that mean? Against abortion. Antibiotics. They work against bacteria. Against. Anti. But if the word anti is spelt in what is known as the nominative case, it always means instead of, substitute, counterfeit. And today in our text, this is the word as it is written by John. Antichrist here does not mean against Jesus. It means counterfeit Jesus. In the place of Jesus. Can I give you an illustration? Years ago, somebody sold me a watch. I like mechanical watches. And I was sold a Rolex watch. Well, you know, Rolex watches are the Rolls Royce of watches. You know that, don't you? The best in the world. An average Rolex will cost about £5,000. Well, I thought I got myself a bargain. 2 weeks later, it died on me. It just stopped, never to go again. It was then that I had a closer look at this Rolex watch, and I got a magnifying glass. And I held it up to the watch's face and I read the Rolex. And suddenly, to my shock, I realized it didn't actually say Rolex, it said Rolex. It was a little double L. But the double L's were so close together the naked eye couldn't see it. It wasn't a Rolex watch. It was a counterfeit. I could say that watch was anti-Rolex. It was a counterfeit watch. And this is what John is warning about in our text for today. Antichrist means counterfeit Christ. Counterfeit Christ? How can anyone be so stupid as to believe in a counterfeit Christ? I wonder how many of you know that there is not just one Jesus in the Bible. How many of you know that? 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4 tells us there's another Jesus. Another Jesus. Paul writes there of a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached. We're told in the Bible there is another Jesus, a false Jesus, an anti-Christ, counterfeit Christ. And you know it gets worse? Christ himself warned us in the Gospels that many would come in his name, in the name of Christ, and they would deceive many. And this is what John is writing about today. Now, I want you to think about this. In this epistle of John, John never warns us about other religions. He never warns us about atheism. He never warns us about the evil of black magic. What he tells us about is Antichrist. Now, why? I mean, aren't there other things worse than Antichrist that Christians should watch out for? No. Listen, all other religions are obviously wrong. If you're a Christian and you know any of the basics of your faith, you will know Islam, Judaism, Buddhism. You stay away from them. They're wrong. We're not worried about atheists, are we? We're sorry for them. But Antichrist is different. Antichrist could deceive, if possible, even the elect. You see, Antichrist comes to you in sheep's clothing. We don't need to watch out for other religions. Other religions are obviously wrong. But Antichrist is among us. Antichrist is, as it were, a Trojan horse, an enemy within. And that is the challenge today. As Jesus has warned us, many people who sincerely think that they are following Christ will be deceived. This is the challenge of the text today. Okay, then the million-dollar question is, how do we recognize Antichrist? I was able to spot the fake Rolex when I got a magnifying glass. But how do you spot an Antichrist in the body of the church? Let's face it, it can't be easy because we're told there are many of them around. Many of them around since the time of John. Well, we're not easy to spot. And we're told that many will be taken in and deceived by them. So how do you spot an Antichrist? Thankfully, we're told how to spot them right in our text, verse 19. We read, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. Now listen, but their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. What is the revelation of these antichrists? They went out from the apostles. Here's how to spot an antichrist. They may have roots in the apostolic church. They may come out of the apostles. They'll talk like the apostles. They'll use the same words. Sanctification, justification, salvation, faith. They'll come from the apostles. But the giveaway is this. They did not remain with the apostles. They wandered off the track. And they began to tickle people's ears, telling them things the apostles never taught that other people want to hear. They will talk apostolic talk because they came out of the apostles. But they will be people who have come out from the apostolic gospel teaching. Now this might sound subtle, but let me try and rub it in a bit. Antichrists come out from the apostles. You first got to get that. They are ex-apostolic people. They are Christian in appearance, Christian in the way they talk, but they've not remained under apostolic teaching. They've come out of the true church and preach a counterfeit Christ, a different Jesus, an anti-Jesus. Do you know the scary thing today is this? We're living in an age of ecumenicism. How many of you know what that means? All the churches get together. Listen, if there's been antichrists, many antichrists gone out, how can preachers say things like this? And I've heard it preached. It doesn't matter what church you go to or what doctrines you believe. As long as you have Jesus in your heart, as long as you've asked Jesus into your heart, as long as you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter about all this doctrine. Let me ask you something. In the light of this passage, which Jesus are you talking about? Here we're clearly told of a counterfeit Christ's, multitudes of them that have gone out, and that will deceive many well-meaning people. Doesn't this concern you? Well, how are we to know the true Christ? Is there a way of knowing the true Christ? It's in the text. You need to stick closely to the teaching of the apostles. You need to follow only what is written in the Bible, apostolic doctrine. Listen now, this is how we've got to think about it. If Antichrist is recognized as going out of apostolic teaching, how do we stay on the right track? By staying as close to apostolic teaching as we possibly can. They are recognized by going out of the stream. How do we stay by the true Christ? Staying in the stream of apostolic doctrine. And we mustn't be lazy here. We've got to stick to the apostles' doctrines. Remember we read in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' teaching. Now I'm going to continue on this subject next week, but I don't want to leave you hanging in the air this week. John is going to go on in the rest of this chapter to explain the real Jesus that the apostles are teaching. But for now, I'm just going to leave you a taster of what is to come. And if you're here tonight, I'll be talking more about what I'm going to say now in seminar form, so you can grill me and ask me questions if you're not clear. Because this is so important. In a nutshell, the Apostle John tells us in the fourth chapter that this is what the gospel, the real gospel is. Christ has come in the flesh. That's the gospel in a nutshell. In other words, the real Christ has physically, historically, and absolutely completed the work his Father sent him to do. The job of a Christian is to believe in the finished work of Christ. Now you've got to get this. This is the one true Christ. The only way for anyone to be saved is to believe in Christ's finished work. The real Jesus has come and completed all that God told him to do. He's the author and the finisher of faith. He is the one who by his death has saved once for all his people. His people are as good as seated in heaven with him now, the Bible says. The true Jesus has done the work. The fullness of time has been fulfilled. He's done it, and we believe it's done. Right, that's the true Jesus. Now you may say, oh, well, I don't know that. So what's the big deal? What if I told you there are many preachers, books, videos out there telling people of another Jesus? Very subtly, he's a different Jesus. Sorry. He's not, listen to me now, a Jesus who saves anyone by the power of his blood on the cross. He didn't save anyone by the cross. He makes salvation possible if you believe in him. In other words, the cross doesn't save you. You save yourself. Do you get it? He hasn't purchased our salvation. He's offered our salvation. He's a hypothetical, not an historical savior. You may say, oh, you're splitting hairs. No, I'm not. This is another Jesus. He didn't come to live and die for us. Many people say he came to show us how we can live and die. Jesus is not the way to many people. He came to show us the way. Now, you may say, oh, no, that's splitting hairs. That's trivialities. That's the difference between the true and the antichrist. You can only put your faith in something absolute. How can you put your faith in a probability? Have you ever tried it? Go home and... No, I won't tell you because I'll talk about it tonight. You can't put your faith in a possible Jesus or a potential Savior. You have to put your faith in something that's yea and amen. You must have your anchor based in the unchangeable immutability of the finished salvation. And yet subtly there are other Jesuses around. Hypothetical Jesuses. Potential Jesuses. Do-it-yourself Jesuses. The real Jesus, the Jesus of the apostles, has done it. He's done it all. And your job is to believe in the Jesus of absolute completion. I'll leave it at that for now. If you do have questions and you want to know more about this in the detail of what I've said, I'm doing a seminar tonight on this. Please talk about it if you like. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we've looked at a difficult passage, but it's here in plain black and white before our eyes. We know, Lord, we don't hear much about Antichrist. We've romanticized it. We put it into movies as some horror thing. But God, how frighteningly real this is. How can there be real faith if there's no definite achievement? Please, Lord, wake us up to what John is saying. In Jesus' name, amen.